You are listening to WETF, the jazz station in South Bend, Indiana, heard worldwide on Jazz Radio WETF. Thank you for joining us. This is the Jazz Focus. My name is John Clark, and we are exploring the highways and byways of jazz recorded history, as we do all the time. Today we're going to be listening to the music of a very interesting and somewhat legendary alto sax player named Pete Brown. He was born in 1906 in Baltimore. He's an African-American player who was apparently a well-educated musician. He played a lot of different instruments. He played violin, he played cornet, he sang a little bit, clarinet, but he settled primarily on alto sax. He recorded on tenor sax a little bit too, and also did an occasional solo on trumpet. I believe he also played some guitar, so very well-rounded, played a lot of shows and things in his native Baltimore before he came to New York in the late 1920s. He started playing with Clarence Williams bands, may have made his first recording with them at one point, too. We have done some podcasts in the past of some of the recordings that Pete Brown has done or had done in connection with some other great jazz players like Frankie Newton, the John Kirby Sextet, and so on. He recorded pretty frequently during the middle to late 1930s. He recorded with Jimmy Noon. He recorded with, as I said, the John Kirby Sextet. He was the first alto player with that. With Frankie Newton's various groups, they were together for quite a while. He recorded with Leonard Feather's band when he put a group together after he came over from England. We've heard that before. We're picking up the story in the middle 1940s. Brown played quite regularly in Harlem in various clubs, usually in a trio or a quartet format in the 1930s. By the 1940s, he had expanded a little bit and was playing in four, five, six-piece groups, often kind of flirting with the beginning style of rhythm and blues. He had that very punchy, jumpy quality to his playing that really set him apart from all of the other alto players of the day. He didn't sound like Johnny Hodges or Benny Carter. If he sounded like anybody, or maybe more to the point, anybody sounded like him, it might have been Louis Jordan. And he indeed subbed for Louis Jordan on a couple of his dates with the Timpani Five when Jordan was indisposed or double booked. So we just heard two tunes from a session for World Records. These were radio transcriptions that were made specifically for radio broadcasts. Occasionally they were done in conjunction with recording sessions for Decca in 1944, 45, thereabouts. I don't think this one was. I think this was just strictly for the transcription service, and it was credited to Pete Brown and his orchestra. And the band in this case includes the great Jonah Jones on trumpet. I think we may have heard one or two of these tracks on a Jonah Jones show a while back. Pete Brown on alto sax. A fellow named Zed Jackson, Z-E-D Jackson, on piano. Don't really know much about him. Dallas Bartley was on bass. He made a number of recordings with Louis Jordan over the years. And Ed Nicholson on drums. And we started out with a tune called Said Zed, S-A-I-D-Z-E-D. And that was a kind of an unusual tune that seemed to me, anyway, to have some affinity to the tune from the 1930s, How Could You, melodically, maybe not on the bridge, but on the A sections. And then we did a very slow, dreamy, but powerful version of Ain't Misbehavin', where Jonah Jones shows off his initial influence, which was Louis Armstrong. So now we're going to go over to a session that Pete Brown did, led in the mid-1940s for Savoy Records. He did several sessions. We heard on another podcast one that he led with a band backing the blues singer Cousin Joseph, and that's out on the podcast station that I have, Jazz Focus. But this is a date that was called the Pete Brown Sextet, and it was done February 20th of 1945. Interestingly, on trumpet, we have a fellow named Ed Lewis, who was the lead trumpeter for the Count Basie band for the first 10 years or so of its existence. He had also recorded with Benny Moten's band from the late 1920s on. He was not known as a jazz player, although he did get some good muted solos with Basie, but here he's definitely playing more jazz, along with Pete Brown on alto sax. Ray Parker on piano. He had been a mainstay of the Sidney Bechet group that recorded for Blue Note and also broadcast for two or three months from the Savoy Cafe in Boston. We've done a podcast on those recordings. Al Casey on guitar. He had been with Fats Waller when he was a teenager and was an early proponent of electric guitar. Al Matthews on bass and Ray Nathan on drums. I don't know if Nathan and Matthews and possibly Ed Lewis were regulars with the Pete Brown group, maybe also Ray Parker. I think they may have been playing club dates in New York at that time. And we're going to hear four tunes. We're going to hear The Fat Man Boogie. Pete Brown was noted for his love of good food and corpulence and so forth. It's subtitled The Big Boy Boogie. And then we're going to go to That's the Curfew, followed by Midnight Blues, and That's It. All four of those tunes by Pete Brown. Then we're going to hear two tunes from a few months later, March 6th of 1945, with basically the same group, although Bill Moore is playing guitar on this one. Al Casey was gone. We're going to hear, Just Plain Shuffle and Pushin' the Mop. Those two tunes were done, as I said, a little bit later, and both of those are Brown tunes as well. We're going to omit Back Talk Boogie from that. That was recorded on the same date, but that was done without Ed Lewis, so we're just going to focus on the sextet and quintet sides here. So that will be our set coming up. Pete Brown and his sextet, recording for Savoy. The Fat Man Boogie, That's the Curfew, Midnight Blues, That's It, Just Plain Shuffle, and Pushin' the Mop. Thank you.
Thank you.
Kind of what you'd call jazz in transition, right at the end of the swing era, 1945. We have these musicians who are looking both to the rhythm and blues era and also have some very, I would call it, gentle bebop influences as well. That was the Pete Brown Sextet, recording for Savoy. First four tunes on February 20th, 1945, and the last two on March 6th of 1945. And the sextet in this case consisted of Ed Lewis on trumpet, doing some very respectable jazz work. As I said, he was not featured to any length at all with the Basie Band. His job was to play lead trumpet, up until World War II anyway, when he left, or shortly thereafter. And then, I don't know what he did after that. I think he did some combo things. I think he played with some of the Basie reunion groups, but his jazz days were really in the late 1920s when he was with Benny Moten. But here it's nice to hear him play in this setting. Pete Brown playing that very bouncy style of alto. His tone had coarsened a little bit since the 1930s, but he still had that rhythmic verve, I would call it, that kind of deserted him a little bit in the next decade. He had serious weight problems. He was diabetic. He suffered from significant ill health in his last years from the middle 1950s up until he passed away in 63, I think. He did some recording for Bethlehem and for Verve and some live dates and things like that in his later years, and it just really wasn't the same. He didn't sound as forthright or as in control of his horn, although he had some brief flashes of good moments that reflected back 20 years earlier. But here in 1945, he was still playing quite well and showed that he was keeping up with some of the bebop developments. There are places in his recordings where he sounds like a precursor to Charlie Parker. I'm thinking of a tune that we put on a podcast with Jimmy Noon, where he, Pete Brown, played blues on Apex Blues, which they called Bump It, and it had a very floating quality that Bird had early in his career as well. On piano, we heard Ray Parker doing some solid work, not flashy, but solid. Some excellent electric guitar work on the first four tunes by Al Casey, replaced on the last two by Bill Moore, and then Al Matthews on bass and Ray Nathan on drums. We started out those first four tunes, The Fat Man's Boogie, That's the Curfew, Midnight Blues, and That's It. Then, from March, we heard Just Plain Shuffle and Pushin' the Mop. All of these are Pete Brown tunes based on I Got Rhythm or the blues or some standard set of chord progressions. The melodies were not all that important. They were punchy and memorable, but not outstanding in any way. But we hear some interesting interplay in the soloists. And with the three lead voices, the trumpet, the alto sax, and the electric guitar, they created some very interesting textures. So now we're going to go to, I guess, what would be considered more of a mainstream jazz outing. And that was the session that we started out the program with. Pete Brown and his orchestra recording for World Transcriptions in 1944. These were actually done on January 16th of 1944, and they were supervised by Milt Gabler, as were most of these World Transcriptions. And Gabler was at the time working for Decca Records. And as I said, a lot of the world sides were also done for Decca. Sometimes it seems like it might have even been the same sides released simultaneously, but I think in general they were alternate takes or even a slightly later date for one or the other using the same personnel. So here we're going to hear Jonah Jones really at his peak on trumpet. He was still with the Cab Calloway band at the time. He was adept at playing lead and also great jazz solos, muted jazz he became noted for later on, but open sounding Louis Armstrong solos and quasi bebop solos as well. Pete Brown, really at his peak at this point on alto sax, Zed Jackson on piano, Dallas Bartley on bass, and Ed Nicholson on drums. And we're going to hear the balance of the session using that group coming up. And then we'll finish the program with a slightly different group, reduced group, doing the last two tunes. But on this session, we're going to hear some standards and some originals. We're going to hear The World is Waiting for the Sunrise, which Pete Brown had also recorded for the Panazier sessions in 1938. That's the Lick, which was a Jonah Jones tune that we've featured on a couple of Jonah Jones podcasts. Little Jump, Blue Skies, and Rosetta. Rosetta is another tune that Pete Brown seemed to like. He recorded that for Victor with the Panazier sessions. It also featured James B. Johnson and Frankie Newton. So this is Pete Brown and his orchestra, 1944, recording for World Transcriptions. The World is Waiting for Sunrise, That's the Lick, Little Jump, Blue Skies, and Rosetta. Thank you. Was the Pete Brown and his orchestra session from January 16th of 1944 for World Transcriptions. We started out with The World is Waiting for Sunrise, followed by the Jonah Jones tune, That's the Lick, then Little Jump, Blue Skies, and Rosetta, all good jazzy performances, mainstream performances, with maybe a little bit of blues overtone in there. Pete Brown on alto sax playing at probably the best he was playing in the 1940s on this session. And he had to play well to match up with Jonah Jones, whose playing was brilliant at this point, on trumpet. Dallas Bartley on bass, Zed Jackson on piano, and Ed Nicholson on drums. And that was the balance of the quintet session from that date. So we're going to finish up with two other tunes from that date that apparently they let Jonah Jones go home early, and it's just Pete Brown and their group. So I lied a little bit earlier when I said it was just going to be quintet and sextet sessions. This is a quartet, and it's going to have Pete Brown with that rhythm section, Zed Jackson, Dallas Bartley, and Edward Nicholson. And Pete Brown will sing on one as well. In fact, the first one, The Lowdown Blues, a Pete Brown tune. He sang on a couple of numbers in his career. He had a nice, pleasing blues voice. And then we're going to finish up with a kind of an interesting version of Caravan that gets a little exploratory in some places as well and features some of the better or more advanced technical aspects of Pete Brown's playing. So Pete Brown, as I said, continued on playing through the 1940s, 50s, and into the 60s, although ill health really beset him in the last 5 or 6 years of his life. He died in 1963, but he left a very impressive recorded legacy and was very well thought of by his peers. He also was a good teacher. He had taught Cecil Payne and Flip Phillips and the next generation of saxophone players coming up. So you've been listening to WETF, the jazz station in South Bend, Indiana, and we're heard worldwide on jazz radio, WETF.org. And this is the Jazz Focus. My name is John Clark. Hope you've enjoyed this program, and tune in again next week.
High. When you see me coming red.